Osman.
Osman, yeah, that's right. That's right.
So we're very, very happy to be back here with you wonderful Krishna conscious people. It's always a very special treat for me when I come back to Denver, actually. Because it was here in 1968 when one friend taught me one mantra that goes like this: Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Hare. So my life hasn't been the same ever since. Somehow I became addicted to this magic mantra. Been chanting it ever since. There's a very nice verse in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna talks about this wonderful process of chanting Hare Krishna. This Hare Krishna movement is not some new invention. It's actually going on since time immemorial. And Krishna, he was propagating it to Arjuna. And also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was a dyed-in-the-wool Hare Krishna. If God himself can become a Hare Krishna, it must be okay. So Krishna says, satatam kirtiyanto mam yatantascha drudavata namasham shastamam bhakcha nitcha yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Prabhupada explains. He says, the Mahatma cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. His symptoms are described here. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he is not an impersonalist. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising his holy name, his eternal form, his transcendental qualities, and his uncommon pastime. One has to glorify all these, therefore a Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of God. One who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Brahma Jyoti, is not described as a Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in a different way in the next verse. The Mahatma is always engaged in different activities of devotional service, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not a demigod, a human being. That is devotion. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, and Smadhanam, remembering him. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental rasas. To achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily, vocal, everything, in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. In devotional service, there are certain activities which are called determined, such as fasting on certain days, like the 11th day of the moon, Ekadashi, as we are doing here today. And on the appearance day of the Lord, all these rules and regulations are offered by the great acharyas for those who are actually interested in getting admission into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. The Mahatmas, the great souls, strictly observe all these rules and regulations, and therefore they are sure to achieve the desired result. As described in the second verse of this chapter, not only is this devotional service easy, but it could be performed in a happy mood. One does not need to undergo any severe penance and austerity He can live this life in devotional service, guided by an expert spiritual master, and in any position, either as a householder or a sannyasi or a brahmachari, in any position anywhere in the world, he can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become actually Mahatma, a great soul. Shri Shri Hari Govinda Ki Jai, Shri Jagannath Balabhadra Subhadra Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nithar Ki Jai. So, this is quite a wonderful thing. These activities of devotional service, as Prabhupada explains here, that by performing these rules and regulations offered by the great acharyas, the result is, yes, getting admission into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. Just imagine if somebody walked up to you and handed you a ticket and said, "Here, this is a special ticket. You can take this ticket, and this ticket will enable you to actually penetrate the coverings of this universe and actually see Krishna face to face, eye to eye, right before your very self. You'll see Krishna." It's like you can go to your friend's house, knock on the door, "Hare Krishna Prabhu, came by to see how you're doing today." You can meet your friend face to face. Just imagine if you could go, this is, you go to your friend's house and you go through the door and you walk in. Just imagine if you could enter into the spiritual world and see Krishna face to face. Well, guess what? We've just been given the ticket by the acharya. It's pretty incredible what we've been given. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhai, all these great Vaishnava acharyas, they have kindly kept this wonderful science of Krishna Bhakti available to us for these thousands and thousands of years. It's been handed down carefully. Evam parampara praptam nirmam nirjashri ovidu. This knowledge has been very, very carefully handed down. What we have here is inconceivable. Recently we were preaching in Istanbul, Turkey, and we explained in our discussion, actually it was amazing, we had this huge hall full of Muslim people chanting Hare Krishna in ecstasy. We could see that this is not, that Hare Krishna is a non-sectarian universal mantra. It is not Hindu, it's not Christian, it's everything at the same time. It's not any one of the above, and it's all the above simultaneously. Those of you who were here this morning, we actually have a DVD of that kirtan. It was amazing that these Muslim people had never heard about this chanting Hare Krishna. And here they were, we went there and introduced it to them, and they were just swimming in an ocean of bliss, chanting Hare Krishna in ecstasy. So, I was explaining there while I was in Istanbul, if I told you that you have a treasure buried in your backyard worth $10 trillion, would that get your interest? I mean, how many of you are struggling to earn a living? I mean, with $10 trillion, you could buy any politician in the world. I mean, that's a lot of money, $10 trillion. So, if I told you you have a treasure valued at $10 trillion buried in your backyard, would that get your interest? If I told you, I gave you a suitable instrument for digging that treasure up, and I told you exactly where it's buried, would that get you even more interested? I explained. It definitely would. Let's not be artificially renounced here. I'm sure any of us, if we found out we had $10 trillion sitting in our backyard, we'd be pretty enlivened about going home this evening and getting a hold of them. And we can really build, you know, so many temples around the world. It's just incredible what we do. So, what we have here is actually more valuable than $10 trillion. And it's not buried in our backyard, it's buried right here in our heart. It's called Krishna Bhakti. It is an opulence far greater. How can I say that? You say, well, it's just love of God. I mean, how you can compare it to $10 trillion? And it's just love of God. Wait a minute. Krishna says, or actually Shastra explains, that Krishna is ajita. He cannot be conquered. And he's the supreme controller. Bhoktaram jagatam sarvaloka maheshwaram. He controls and owns everything. But Shastra says that that person who controls everything, he becomes conquered by his devotee's love. So just imagine if you actually owned that person who owns everything. So how could you possibly purchase, how could you possibly buy out that person who owns everything? And that is Krishna consciousness. That is Krishna bhakti. That enables one to actually purchase. As Prabhupada says, nothing to purchase except Krishna. Krishna is purchased by that person who faithfully executes this process known as bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, as described in this verse. Sototam kirtiyanto man. He's always chanting. And Prabhupada explains to us that chanting also includes other activities like writing or doing service. He even said taking prasadam is also kirtan. He said everything is kirtan except for sleeping. He said that is waste. Of course, even that is beneficial if you use it for doing your service. So even sleeping has some transcendental position. So if one seriously takes up this sublime pathway of Krishna consciousness, then you can achieve that position which is not obtainable by any other means. Even the demigods in the heavenly kingdom, who have so much opulence, they have so much prestige, they have so much power to control the universe, but that is nothing compared to the position of the bhakta. In our movement, we use that title for a new devotee, well, bhakta so-and-so. But actually, that bhakta title, that's very, very big. When I was visiting our Mumbai temple, Juhu, several years ago, I asked one devotee, what is his name? Well, I'm bhakta so-and-so. So I said, actually, I hope that someday I can also become bhakta. That is a very big position. Bhakta. It's the biggest position. When it's actually bhakta, in the true sense of the term, then you become, Krishna becomes purchased by your bhakti. It becomes your personal property. It's like Mother Yasoda and Damodar, or Krishna Arjuna. Krishna is the chariot driver. You see, Krishna is the chauffeur. So, don't ever doubt this process of Krishna consciousness for 1 minute, not even for one iota of a millisecond, should you doubt this Krishna consciousness process. If we take it very, very, very seriously, that every thought, every word, every deed that we will engage ourselves in all times, all places, and all circumstances must be purely fixed in Krishna consciousness. If we take this determination, there is nothing that can stop us from experiencing the highest happiness and being able to engage in the most merciful activity with whomever we meet. And what is that? Sharing with them Krishna. That is the greatest mercy. There's no greater mercy than to give Krishna. You may give some welfare to a starving man, that's all right. We give them prasad. We have a nice prasad program for the needy. But if we only feed the body, and we do not feed the living being within that body, then our welfare work is incomplete. Because you have only given temporary relief to that person. You have not permanently relieved their anxieties. If we want to permanently relieve the distress, then we must give Krishna consciousness. Nothing short of Krishna consciousness will give that relief, because unless one becomes a pure lover of God, it is not possible to escape this material existence. It is not possible. Where I don't care how good the neighborhood is, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartina Rajana Mamupetsa Kondaya Punar Janmana Vijite. I don't care how good of a neighborhood you may qualify to live in within this universe. There's some pretty swanky neighborhoods, like Brahma Loka. Some pretty swanky neighborhoods in the universe. But you will not be free from anxiety even if you go to Brahma Loka within this world, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. You will not be free. So achieving great material opulence may appear to be very, very nice, but actually it will buy nothing for you except more anxiety. Unless you use that for Krishna, then it is all right. Prabhupada explains, a businessman, he can aspire to become the wealthiest, a Krishna-conscious businessman. He can aspire to become the wealthiest businessman in the whole world because he's going to use that money in Krishna's service. You see? Here in America, I don't know about India, but maybe there also, but as little children, the parents would give us allowance. When I was a little one, my big allowance was 1 nickel a week. So, if the parents see that the child is misspending his allowance, then they will cut it in half. Give him less money, because he's misspending. But if the child is very intelligently managing that money, putting it in a savings account or something like that, you know, saving up for a savings bond, that was the in thing, little kids, you get up one of those U.S. savings bonds, then you're really patriotic. So if the child is using that money very, very wisely, then the parents will increase the allowance. So whatever resources we have now, how are we spending them? How are we utilizing them? That we have to see. If I have some spare time on a Friday night, what am I doing with it? You see, am I using it for Krishna? Am I using it just for some sense gratification? Krishna sees what we're doing with our spare time. When we're free, we have no obligation for our, you know, when we have some free time, what do we do with it? We use it for Him or we use it for something else? So the idea is whatever facility, whatever opportunities we have for serving Krishna, we should fully utilize those activities in Krishna's service. And then He'll give us more and more opportunities. That's a fact. Give us more and more opportunities. Srila Prabhupada told our Tamal Krishna Goswami, when he was Tamal Krishna Das Brahmachari, he said, Krishna can give you all of America within 1 minute, what you will do with it. So the idea is whatever facilities Krishna has given us now, let us use them very sincerely in His service. And then Krishna will give us more facility and more facility and more facility. And this is the secret of success in Krishna consciousness. It doesn't matter how big or how small. We know in the pastimes of Ram, when the Boulder Bridge was being built, not Boulder, Colorado, you know what I mean. The Boulder Bridge is being built across the ocean to Lanka. Hanuman and his monkeys were putting big boulders there in the ocean. And one little spider, he was brushing a little dust. He wanted to serve Ram also. So Hanuman said, "Oh, you little spider, who are you anyway? What do you think you're doing?" So Ram chastised, "No, Hanuman. His service is just as great as your service." So it's not the quantity that counts, actually. It's the quality, it's the love that you actually feel in your heart for serving Krishna. That's what counts. That's what Krishna sees. So that we have to develop, that feeling of love, bhaktya, the devotion, that we have to cultivate. This is the great gift of Srila Prabhupada to us. He showed us practically how to serve Krishna with love, how to serve the conditioned souls with love by giving them Krishna. Prabhupada taught us everything by his perfect example. And now it is up to us, the followers of Srila Prabhupada, now that he has physically departed from this realm of birth and death. Of course, spiritually he is with us still. Otherwise, how are we going on together like this? It is his mercy, because he is spiritually fully manifest here. But in his physical absence now, there is more responsibility on our shoulders to come to this standard of pure devotional service. Formerly, everyone could see, here is the pure devotee. See, it was a great inspiration for everyone. See, oh, the pure devotee. I remember in the old days, there was one traveling party we were called the Road Show. We had a traveling rock opera. Prabhupada actually, we did performances in different auditoriums. And Prabhupada actually came and attended one of our performances. In those days, no one applauded this time. We think, well, that's something the Westerners do, you know, it's not. So we did our performance and Prabhupada applauded. He was the only one, the hall was full of devotees, but there was only one person applauding, and that was Prabhupada. He was applauding. But there was one song, a very nice song called Jagad Guru, that we were singing. Let's see, how did the pure devotee comes, and then the evil has to end. Jagad Guru, spiritual master of the universe. Jagad Guru, Prabhupada. It was so nice to sing that for Prabhupada. But that is the actual position. If someone is purely practicing Krishna consciousness, they have no material motivation in their heart, then such a person, by their mere presence on this planet, creates a very auspicious atmosphere that inspires and enlivens so many people to come to Krishna consciousness. So now it's up to us, the followers of Prabhupada, in his physical absence, to work, to pray for his mercy that we can come to this standard of pure devotional service in our own lives. Prabhupada personally wrote me like that. He was pushing me to come to pure devotion. He said, no karma, no jnana, no yoga, all material desire is zero. And he said, whether you can be like that. Only by Prabhupada's mercy do I have any hope to purify my heart. So the point is that we have to strive for this pure devotion. As Prabhupada's followers, it is stated that the tree is judged by its fruit. So we are fruits on the Prabhupada tree. We want that the world should think the very best thing of our Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, we have to become as pure as we possibly can be by diligently, introspectively disciplining each thought that goes through our mind, each word that comes out of our lips, and each activity we perform with our body that is, it's pure. It's for the pleasure of Krishna and Guru. We have to discipline ourselves in this way. And that will please Krishna, will please the spiritual master, It will please the great acharyas to see that we're sincerely trying to carry forward this great tradition of pure devotion. It's been handed down for thousands and thousands of years. Evam parampara pratam imam rajarshayo vidu. We want to make sure that this disciplic succession is not broken. That we, the followers of Prabhupada, can keep that spirit of pure bhakti alive by our examples. This is what we have to do. It's our duty and responsibility. So by studying very carefully the writings of our great, great, great founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, and applying the rules and regulations of devotional services described here, then not only will we know Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but we will realize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are two qualities of the Brahman. One is Jnana. He has theoretical knowledge of the Absolute Truth. The other, Vijnana. He has practical realization of the Absolute Truth. So this we must do. We must know who is Krishna, and we must follow the instructions of the great acharyas, because then we will realize Krishna fully. And as Prabhupada told me in another letter, he said, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So we are meant to come to this standard of pure bhakti. I know that was not an instruction for me only. Who was I? I was just an unknown rank and file brahmachari in some remote temple. I wasn't a big leader, a GVC or a sannyasi or, you know, a big... I was just some unknown brahmachari in a remote temple somewhere that Prabhupada never... Well, he came before we got... He came one time to that city. But the point is, I wasn't any big name, just some unknown rank and file devotee, but Prabhupada was telling me like that. Now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. That means this is, he wanted all of us to do this. He wanted all of us to come to this position, pure devotion, where we could actually qualify to see Krishna face to face. Jagannatha Swami, Najana Papagami, Bhavatuna. The devotee is praying for pure devotion, actually. Sometimes you may wonder, well, we pray, Jagannatha Swami, Nayanapati Gwami, Baba to me, please come to my vision. And then Bhakti Siddhanta said, don't try to see God, but try to act in such a way that God will see you. You may wonder, well, is this contradictory? Because they pray, Lord Jagannath, please come to my vision, on the one hand, on the other hand, Bhakti Siddhanta said, don't try to see God. Is this some contradiction? Maybe Bhakti Siddhanta wasn't aware of the Jagannath Astakam? No. We have to understand the meaning. The meaning is you act in such a way, as Bhakti Siddhanta said, try to act in such a way that God will see you. So when we pray, Jagannath Swami Nayana Patagami Baba Tame, that means we're praying to act in such a way that Lord Jagannath will want to see us, and then we'll automatically get to see him. That is the meaning. So, we're very, very happy to have this opportunity to be purified and uplifted by your divine association. And if there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer them here in a minute, as soon as my hearing aids turn on. Old age setting in. So, any questions? Now perhaps everyone has already fully realized the science of Krishna consciousness. There's nothing more to be known. You know everything now about Krishna consciousness. I should be sitting and learning from you. So, there's one question. Speak up very loudly.
Is Krishna the super soul?
is Krishna the super soul?
Yeah.
Yes and no. And this Krishna, the super soul, is an expansion of Krishna. So in that sense, the super soul is Krishna. But Krishna also has his, the same time that he's the super soul sitting within your heart, he's also still, he's separately going on in his Vrindavan Leela. The super soul is an expansion of that original Krishna. So the answer is yes and no. But that super soul is as good as Krishna, because it's Krishna's expansion. By connecting with that super soul within your heart, you automatically then will also connect with his original form in Goloka Vrindavan. So for all practical purposes, the answer is yes, but there is some distinction also. Prabhupada actually mentions in the Srimad Bhagavatam purport that that one can turn on the mystic television within one's heart. So actually, you can, it's possible to see the Goloka Vrindavan pastimes even going on within your own heart. So the original Krishna can also be within your heart if you're a completely pure devotee. The original two-armed form can manifest in your heart also. But as a general pastime or activity of Lord, in the heart of every living entity, he manifests as the four-armed form of Paramatma in all living beings. Everyone, even the little ant. Therefore, every living entity is worshipable. We can bow down to it. We see an ant crawling across the floor. You can offer your obeisances to that ant, because the super soul is there in the heart of the ant. Questions, Mark? We have 1 minute. Any quick last minute question? So, we'll end 30 seconds early. Oh, yes? I'm not hearing the question. So, we'll stop here. We thank you very much for your kind attention, and thank you very much for participating in this Hare Krishna movement. And now we'll ask Sugadev Das to lead the japa class. Hare Krishna Srila Prabhupada ki jai.